Have you ever dreamed of one day owning your own business, but just don't know where to begin? Then you've tuned into the right show. On All Things Franchising, you will hear from top national franchisers, successful franchisees, attorneys, CPAs, and others who support this fast-growing business model. So grab a cup of coffee and pen and notepad, because you will want to capture the invaluable information you hear on today's show. And now, here is your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Hey folks, this is Linda Ballesteros. Welcome to All Things Franchising. I am so happy you're here today. I'm always honored when people spend time with me. It's sometimes hard to carve time out of your busy day, and I'm honored. So we're talking today about the children's education industry. I read an article that went like this. The National Science Foundation estimates 80% of the jobs during the next decade will require math and science skills. Therefore, young students need to be introduced to STEM education at an early age. While some institutions have embraced early STEM learning, consistent programming during the school day is really not very widespread. And that's what we're going to be talking about today with Jeff Hughes. Jeff has worked with students around the world for close to 20 years. He's passionate about empowering students through education. He's the founder of Level Up Kids, which is a STEM program with a mission to prepare children for the changing workplace of the future. So please help me in welcoming Jeff to the show. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. I'm grateful to be talking to you today.
Absolutely. Well, we're glad to have you. You know, Jeff, what I have seen so much is there is a huge focus now, and I don't know whether the pandemic had anything to do with it, a focus on children's education. So before we start talking about that, tell me a little bit about your background. And, you know, you indicate that that you've been working with kids for 20 years now. How did you work with them, in what capacity?
So I have, from a very young age, I was traveling, doing relief trips overseas, visiting orphanages. I was in Russia when I was 18, working with juvenile delinquents and teaching them English, teaching them life skills. And then in a nonprofit capacity, I was working with teenagers for close to a dozen years, helping them empower them through education, through experiences, through bringing them on trips as well. And then my wife and I kind of continued this together. So we spent almost a year in the Philippines working with women, again, teaching them life skills, teaching them business skills, teaching them English. And we really, looking back, that was really something I was passionate about, which led me to what I'm doing now, that seeing the real power that knowledge and education has and helping people improve their condition in life.
Mm. Now, is that where Level Up Kids was born?
Partly that was really born out of me being unemployed. I was unemployed on the East Coast of Canada for the third time in 5 years. And I thought, I need to do something about this. I need to improve my knowledge. So I began teaching myself computer programming, thinking that this would be a way that I could solve my own problems, that I could be employed myself. And as I was beginning to learn this, I looked at my kids. And at the time, their school had three computers for 350 of them. And I thought, there is no way that they're going to be prepared with the skills they need, with the type of equipment that they have presently. Yeah. So I talked to some other parents. I found out that they shared that concern. And out of that, Level Up was created, really from a parent's perspective of all of us wanting the best for our kids and wanting to make sure that our kids, you know, we say be ready with the skills for the future, but we want our kids to be prepared for the future, to be successful, to be happy, to reach their potential, live their dreams. And we think by giving them these skills, as well as the skills that come through learning programming, that we can help them do that.
You know, Jeff, so many people think that the STEM or STEAM programs are just preparing the children for employment, but they can use these particular skills that they learn just as they're going through school in everyday courses, can't they?
For sure. So you'd be amazed. We all think of this younger generation as being so technologically advanced, but most of our students have never touched a computer. They don't know how to use a keyboard. They can use an iPad. And if I were to ask you to type an exclamation point, you would know to press shift and the number one. These students who come in, they have no idea of how to do that at all. So we have to teach them how to use a keyboard, how to use a mouse. We have to teach them to stop touching the computer screen, because all of their technology is a phone or a tablet. So by us teaching them these skills, they are things that they can use through school. But we also focus on critical skills like problem solving and team building. So many kids, my own included, when they're confronted with a problem or things don't go the way they expect them to, they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So if we can teach them and give them opportunities where we don't give them the answers as teachers, we make them keep pressing forward. We let them know it is hard, it is challenging, and that's how you're going to learn. We think that's going to be valuable for them to learn no matter what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because even if learning problem-solving skills, that would certainly help with cooking dinner. It would help with just anything, right?
Yeah, for sure. And so many, I'm not sure where it's kind of happened, but, you know, with my kids, you try to do things for them. You try to make life easier. And perhaps to the detriment of them, that we haven't taught them how to figure things out. So we're trying more to, with our kids, to let them suffer with the consequences, let them figure out how to fix their own problems, because no one's going to be there when they're an adult and they have to figure out how to fix, you know, how to get a job the next day, or how to make money.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, very good point there. So, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about Level Up Kids and some of the activities and, for lack of a better word, services that you offer to the students.
Yeah, so we offer what is known as career readiness education. So starting at a young age, we offer after-school programs, summer camps, fun classes that are broken up into different career paths. So at a young age, it's really fun-based, so they'll be working with programs that they like Roblox and Minecraft. But as they get older, we focus their attention onto careers that they might enjoy, and then career readiness. So you had mentioned, you know, the number of jobs that require STEM skills. But what happens is, if a child goes through high school and then realizes in their final year that they'd like to do computer science, well, it's too late. They can't go back and take all of the prerequisite classes that they need.
Right.
So we help parents see in middle school what classes they're going to need through high school, what electives they'll need to take so that they can be ready to get into the university classes that they'll want. Or we also offer career certification. So students could come through our programs through middle school and high school and be job ready by the time they graduate high school.
Wow. Wow. That's huge, because, you know, Jeff, I know that there are a large percentage of the children graduating from high school that really, they really don't care to go to college. So for you
right.
to give them the skills that that where they can actually go out and get a job, they are marketable with a high school education plus the certification. That's huge, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right now, a lot of parents are questioning the value of higher education, especially where
mm-hmm.
so much of it is mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, my oldest, is in his first year of university right now. And he just turned 17. He turned 18 right after it started. And I'm thinking, how can he even understand what he wants to do and make this
sure.
massive investment? So we
sure.
we kind of take the risk out of that. If they know they want to work at a company like Google, Google has certification courses that you can take, and they have a list of programs that they offer. So does Amazon. And they would say, you don't need to work at university or go to university to work here. Just take these courses and we'll consider you. So
wow.
we put those in the hands of high school students and adults. We would be offering more programs to adults because we get asked that often. But we want to give students an option that isn't going to put them in long-term debt.
Mm. And we see so much of that. It's so expensive these days, $40,000 a year. It's
mm-hmm.
just, and that's just conservative number.
Right.
So and either the parents take on that debt or the kids take on that in the form of student loans. And either
mm-hmm.
one of those, the kids are just, it's like having a mortgage on your back the minute you graduate from the university. And that's a tough struggle. That's a tough struggle.
Right. So with that, 40%, around 40% of kids go to university and they just take a liberal arts degree. So it isn't focused on a career. And there's a direct correlation. 42% of students or young adults aged 20 to 29 are living with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So you have students who are attending university due to the pressure to attend, and they don't have a clear goal or focus. And when they graduate, some of them are crippled by that debt. And they're living with parents. So we really want and try to make parents the hero of our story,
mm-hmm.
that it's the parents who want to make sure their kids are prepared. So we are speaking to the parents. So we're not trying to say, hey, your kids are going to have fun, which is true. But we're saying if you send your kids through our programs, then you can be confident that they'll be set up in the future. They'll be able to solve their own problems. They'll be able to work for themselves. They won't be living in your basement, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's an amazing approach, Jeff. And I think that's the best approach I've heard. So what ages, how early do you get started with these kiddos?
Typically around age 7. And we go right through to college age. We have programs for kids who can't even read yet. So they are just learning how to use a mouse, learning how to use the keyboard, so that they could begin dragging and dropping shapes and learning some of the fundamentals of computer science. And we stress with the parents and with the kids that they are learning a third language. They're learning another language. And it's just as hard and requires just as much practice as learning mm-hmm. French or Spanish. So we start with very simple steps, and it grows in its complexity.
Wow, I just love your approach. So if let's talk about the franchise side of this, Jeff. So if I'm listening to what you are describing about Level Up Kids, and it really sounds interesting to me, do I need to be a computer whiz? Do I need to have teaching background to be a franchisee?
No, and I'm kind of embarrassed saying it, but I didn't have that knowledge when I started the company. So I had to create systems and ways to hire staff that knew more than I did. So very, very quickly, I hired university computer science students, and they are our primary instructors, and they are very passionate about computer science, and many of them tell me that they wish someone had taught them when they were 9 and 10 years old. So it's very easy to find the people with the knowledge. And most of our content is self-directed. So students come into our class, they put on their headphones, and they work through their next lesson. This is really, our franchise is not about teaching at the ownership level. It is about sales. It is about having someone who could network, who could go and meet with principals, talk to parents at the PTA, go to the scout troop, meet with the homeschool groups, and through that, build up their customer base.
Mm. So as you are helping them and you've identified a franchisee, how do you teach? What does that training look like, Jeff, to get them there?
Yeah, we are going through this right now, training a new batch of Latin American franchisees. And we teach them right now virtually. It is center director training. So how to work in our systems, how to work on our admin portal, our sales portal, how to teach classes. And then once they're back home, they're going to do, they're going to get certified as STEM teachers. So there is an organization called STEM.org, and they are kind of the largest governing body of STEM institutes. And they would be going through a course to be certified as STEM teachers. And then we also have training and how to work with kids that all of our staff take. And it would be the same training that, you know, your neighborhood summer camp that their staff would go through. So if a camp is accredited by the American Camping Association, their staff and their leaders would go through the same training. So how to deal with bullies, how to deal with angry parents, how to deal with kids with special needs. We really make sure that all of our staff, all of our owners and our staff have that same baseline knowledge of how to work with kids, because not everyone does. And their skill set may not be in teaching, and they may never plan to be the teacher, but we still want them to understand that and be able to step in if need be.
Mm-hmm. Now, once you have, they've gone through that training, do you also help them when they get back home and they've gone through that certification? Do you help them with finding those connections in their community? Because if they're coming out of corporate, I came out of a 30-plus year career in banking, and I didn't have a clue, Jeff, as to how to get into my community. So is that something that you kind of help them with as well?
It is, and we've helped them locate, you know, the heads of the PTA and the different school groups. We are also right now refining the website so that it is doing a much better job of generating leads for them. The local SEO, I'm sure everyone talks about that, is really the most important thing a local business can do. So through the Google My Business page, we help them kind of own those keywords. So if someone types in kids coding class Toronto beaches, then we want to be those top search results. And those don't cost anything. They just take time and effort. So we help them with the social side, but also help them set up the business and set up their websites for them so that it does a lot of the work on their behalf.
And I can just see where once the word gets out, so to speak, in their community, then there would be a lot of referral business that would come in as well.
Definitely. We have people finding out about us and driving their kids, taking their kids out of their school, driving an hour and a half each way to attend our classes. And we have some families who heard about us And every summer they drive 1,000 miles, spend a week at a hotel to put their kids in our camps. So
wow.
They, the parents love it because we're teaching at such a high level, and they tell their friends about it. We've arrived in cities, sold out the camps, not had any location, and I've had to email the parents and say, you know what, you've all signed up for camp. I don't have any place to hold the camp. And within minutes, they have found a place for us to run the camp.
Oh, my goodness. So, they don't want to miss out, and they help you find
exactly.
a place. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Jeff, how amazing is that?
Yeah, they are, the parents are the biggest supporters of bringing us to the communities.
I could definitely see that. Jeff, we're down to, I need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, do you happen to have some stories of those parents and the kids and the franchisees that you could share with us when we come back?
Yeah, I would love to tell you a story about Olivia and Nicholas, who are some kids who've gone through our programs.
Great. Folks, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we're going to be back with more stories about STEM education with Jeff Hughes.
House Talk Radio. Join Tony and Wendy Gambone on House Talk Radio, where they talk all things house. From tips on home repairs and remodeling to best practices on buying and selling a home, hiring contractors, home loans, and insurance, as well as decorating ideas and how to get the most bang for your buck. If you would like more information about House Talk Radio, go to housetalkradio.com.
Are you dreaming of owning your own business but just don't know where to begin? The wait is now over. Linda Ballesteros is a catalyst to becoming a business owner through franchising. Whether you are looking to create a living that will allow you to leave corporate America, change your lifestyle, allowing you to enjoy the fun things in life, or if you're looking to build a legacy that will support your family for years to come, contact Linda today to start the process of being your own boss. Linda at empowerfranchiseconsulting.com, 832-640-4922.
Hey, folks, welcome back to All Things Franchising. We are here with Jeff Hughes, founder of Level Up Kids. So, Jeff, you promised us some stories when we broke for commercial break, so share a few with us. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, sorry. Hello?
Yeah, there we go. We've got you now, Jeff.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. So I want to tell you about Olivia. When she was 5 years old, we had visited her school, and all of the kids brought home flyers. And she went to her mom and said, "Mom, I'm 5 years old, and I don't know how to code yet." So, of course, her mom signed her up, and she has been with us every year for the last 4 years. And her parents saw that passion that she had as a 5 year old, and saw an opportunity for her to fill that quickly. And we don't know what she's going to become, but we know that she is loving the classes, and she's not going to be afraid in the future if she has to take a computer science class or even a hard math class, because she already has experience with that. And I had mentioned Nicholas. He went to a rural school, and he loved computer programming, but it was not really seen as a cool thing by his peers. So he was shy, kind of withdrawn at school. He came to our camp. He was 12 years old. He loved it. And within an hour, he was walking around coaching the other students, helping them.
Wow.
He participated in all of the games, the activities. That first week, his mom asked us if, you know, she wanted to find out what was happening. He was so confident, so much more outgoing than she had seen in middle school. She asked if we would start a private school that he could attend. And we invited him back another week. And then he came back as a volunteer leader, and then eventually came back as a counselor because he found a place where he belonged. And his parents were so happy that he had that place where he was accepted socially, and that allowed him to increase his confidence in other areas of his life.
You know, Jeff, those are such sweet stories because and we hear so much about bullying in the schools. And so much of that happens, I think, is when maybe a child doesn't fit in because they are different. And in public schools, being different is not necessarily accepted very well.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see a correlation there? And do you help them in getting past those bully situations?
I think we do, because we show them that their skills and interests are of value, that they are, it sounds kind of rote to say, but they are special, and the things that mm-hmm. they like to do can be appreciated by the right people. So when they find that space where the things they like to do that other people would look down on, but here they are applauded and accepted, then it does help them to have confidence at school, knowing that there are people like them, and there are people who respect what they have to offer.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back and talk a little bit more about the franchise opportunity. Is this a brick and mortar?
We offer a variety of options. So we have an on-the-go model, which makes use of temporary spaces, churches, community centers, colleges, even places like trampoline parks, any place that has a classroom that could be rented for an hour or a couple hours is a great place for them to start. And then we do have a brick and mortar model as well. So these would be, you know, 1,000 square feet retail space where the students would come at a set time every week for their class. And there are advantages to both, obviously higher visibility in a retail space, but that also comes with a bit of a higher startup cost than getting your vehicle wrapped and driving to schools every day.
Mm-hmm. So for those of you that are listening to this recording, it is October the 6th, 2020. So we all know what 2020 means. So Jeff, during this time when schools were not in session, social distancing, how did that impact the way you delivered and your franchisees delivered the service?
Yeah, we were fortunate in that we were ready. We already had the ability to teach remotely. So when when we saw that this was coming, probably about 2 weeks out, we added content to all of our websites to let parents know that the classes were going to be held virtually. So suddenly there was a new menu bar that had virtual classes, virtual group classes, birthday parties. And the parents really appreciated, they saw it as a bonus that they could keep their child enrolled in our class and do it from the safety of their own home. Mm-hmm. So we were running camps in that way throughout the summer. We even ran birthday parties. So the students would all log into our site. And it would be like a Zoom call where they could see each other, and then they would all play Minecraft or Roblox on one of our games, and then they would sing happy birthday to each other. So they would. There was a lot of interaction, even though the kids had to be separated. And again, parents really appreciated that that option when there wasn't anything else for them to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's been really difficult on the kids, the students as well, this lockdown, so to speak, the pandemic, the social distancing, because they didn't have an opportunity to continue to socialize with their friends. So
mm-hmm.
what you created was a great way for them to plug back in, so to speak.
Yeah, it really, really was. And we had just kind of fun days where we would have 60 or 80 kids all in one of our Minecraft worlds, all talking through their headsets. And we had kids in Germany, South Africa, the U.S. and Canada, all playing Minecraft together, talking as though they were in the same classroom, having a great time.
Wow.
So there are ways that technology can still foster and create a sense of community. when the kids don't have that option of a face-to-face program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this fall, as some cities and states and provinces are opening back up, our centers are open during the day. So we have a lot of students are going every other day. So parents need to find something for their kids to do on the days when they aren't in school. So
uh-huh.
they can drop them off at a level up, the same as the school hours. And the students would work on their schoolwork on our computers using our Wi-Fi. They would get a more of a fun experience rather than being at home. They would do some camp activities. And the parents know that it's a safe spot. The parents can be at work. And the kids are doing schoolwork supervised. So it's just a way that we can be flexible. And we are constantly trying to evolve what we're doing to meet what parents need.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jeff, the thing about what the pandemic has done is we don't step back into our routine. Summer was over, and we don't get to step back into the kids going to school Monday through Friday. So it has really disrupted the family schedule, and everyone's had to get creative, and you guys have certainly gotten creative in offering an option for parents. Kudos for you on doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, and it comes, I think, from all of us being parents. So it's easy to think, well, what do I need this week so I can work? And it's been great to be able to keep offering those services that meet the needs that parents have.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Jeff, we're getting close to the end of the show, and if somebody is listening and they want to know more about, you know, maybe they want to know more if there's a Level Up Kids in their area, or maybe they really do want to look at the franchise opportunity, how would they find out more information about Level Up and the opportunities there?
The easiest way would be by visiting levelupkids.org. And on that site, we have information on our locations, the types of programs that we run, as well as a link for franchising information.
Perfect. Very good. Well, Jeff, we're down to those final questions here. The first one is, if there's someone listening who's considering purchasing a franchise, what would you suggest that they do to prepare for the process?
I would make sure that they start with their end goal in mind. And by that, I mean, what do they want their life to look like as an owner? What do they want their life to look like in 5 or 10 years? And then search for a business that would help them meet those goals. That would really be the biggest thing. Mm. So they know what they want life to be like, and then find a tool, a business in my mind is a tool to help them achieve that dream.
So, Jeff, I have to tell you that I've worked with clients in the past that they had that totally backwards.
Okay.
They had identified a brand and thought that was it. And when they brought me into the picture, I'm going, do you want to, at 55 years old, do you want to work 7 days a week? Do you want an establishment that's 24 hours a day? And then they realize, oh, maybe that's not what I want. So you're exactly right. Identify what it is you want your life to look like. What does that lifestyle look like? What is your end goal? The end goal is to have time and financial freedom. Working 24/7 is not going to be that when you're in your mid-50s. So I appreciate you saying that, because that is so, so true. So the next question here, Jeff, is what are two traits that make a successful franchisee?
So in our case, we are looking for people who are and willing to learn and follow our system. I've worked with other franchise businesses, and that's critical. People go home from training and they just want to do their own thing. So they really first is learn and follow the system. And the second thing we're looking for are candidates who want to help the entire system improve. So they are looking both at how can they make this work in their city, but how could they help build it as a national and international brand? So they really take that reputation to heart, because they know that the better the business does as a whole, the better their local franchise will do.
Mm. Very good. Very good. Exactly. Because it is about the brand. And like you said, the better that they do in their community, it just expands the brand all over and comes stronger. Mm-hmm. So that's very good. Very good plan on your part. The final question is, what does the future of franchising look like?
I think as we, again, coming out of 2020 and seeing some glimmers and some glimpses of the people coming out of that economic uncertainty, I think more people than ever before will be looking to work for themselves. They are looking to get out of the corporate world, but also realizing that they don't have any control over their lives if someone else is the boss. So I think that the interest in franchising will increase. I've seen, as I'm sure you have, the types of franchising businesses has increased, so there are more options for people to get involved in. I just think it will continue to grow and cover every type of business that people could be interested in participating in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very good advice there. Jeff, one more time, if somebody's listening and they want more information on Level Up, where would they go?
Levelupkids.org would be the spot.
Wonderful. Jeff, thanks so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate the work that you're doing and the difference that you're making in the lives of a lot of kids.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. So, folks, you know, at this time, I usually offer a quote, but I found a little snippet in an article that I thought was really interesting, and I thought you might find so as well. It goes like this. When they are shown what engineers do, 76% of girls get interested in engineering. So just know that STEM programs like Level Up, they introduce kids in a way to, they introduce engineering to kids in a way that it's fun. Girls are interested, boys are interested, and it changes their future. Again, folks, I'm so glad you were here with me today. Look forward to seeing you next time on All Things Franchising.
Another great episode of All Things Franchising is now in the books. You can listen to past shows by following All Things Franchising on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure not to miss us next time when we bring you a brand new episode of All Things Franchising.